even if our life is a pile of ashes or a half pile of ashes or however we would describe that, always remember that His love is still writing our story. But it's not a feeling, guys. It's the Word of God. He finishes what He starts. God never quits on us. God never quits on us. Today on Bridges, we are going to talk about how we can receive beauty for ashes. So we're so glad that you could join us today. We are so glad that all of you could come out to WHTN and join us today. And so we're going to talk about receiving beauty for ashes. And we have a group of people here today from the Beauty for Ashes ministry. So let's welcome them. Yeah. So glad to have you all here. And also with them is the founder and the director of Beauty for Ashes. And she never gave me this information, but I went to look up Beauty for Ashes on the internet and saw that, you know, from Spring Hill, Tennessee. And I found, Alicia, this article that said you were named the Citizen of the Year for your leadership. Wow. So we're glad to have Beauty for Ashes and the founder and director, Alisa Sharpton, who is also the Citizen of the Year for her leadership. That is amazing. It is amazing that as a Christian woman that she has made the decision under God's leadership and leading, of course, to have a ministry called Beauty for Ashes. And so it's important for us to remember that all of us.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
At some point in our life, and sometimes at many points in our lives, we find ourselves kind of in a heap of ashes, kind of looking at the things maybe that we hoped for, or maybe even we prayed about, and they just didn't work out the way that we thought. And we're in this kind of disappointed position or troubled position. Any of y'all ever been there? You know, it's like in this, and I think, well, this is not what I prayed for. This is not what I was thinking about. And sometimes, you guys, ashes are a result of our actions. And sometimes they're about other people's actions, you know, or a combination of both. But God promises us beauty for ashes. Even if it's our own consequences that have gotten us where we are, there's some things that we need to remember about believing God's word for beauty for ashes. And the things that we'll talk about today is that we've got to remember He loves us. We've got to remember that He promises us beauty. And then we've got to remember He finishes what He starts. So let's look at He loves us. And it was just a few weeks ago that Pastor Scales, who pastors Jesus is the Answer Church in Watertown, Tennessee, was just talking to me in the hallway at WHTN, and he knew that I had been sick one day and that I had to miss work, and that's unusual for me. I don't usually call out of work, but I was sick enough that I just could not come in. And he said, you know, Monica, he said, whenever you pray for healing or for anything else, he said, start with, I am the disciple that He loves. He said, you know, you start with He loves us. He said, don't start with trying to work up your faith and doing this. He said, start with He loves us. Start with remembering He loves us. Sometimes we have to just as we think about how much he loves us, then our faith grows. Look with me at Romans 5 and verse 8, and I'll read from the New Living Translation. It says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." You all, before we ever thought we might accept Jesus Christ, before we ever had a thought of faith, before we ever had anything, while we were sinners, while we were living as an enemy of God, doing whatever our own in the flesh appetites wanted us to do, while we were in that condition, he sent Christ to die for us. Amen. So we start with, he loves us. He loves us. He loved us when we were in the pit of our own sins. He loved us then. Yes. He loves us now. And it becomes so much easier to pray and to believe for beauty for ashes when we remember that we are loved and we are valued by the King of Kings. He says that he knows our frames and that they are but dust, that our lives are just a vapor, a mist, a little while, and then they are no more. And he knows that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, like he knows all of it. Yes. And guess what? He loves us. He loves us. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Start with, he loves us. And Maggie, if you would you tell us in a condensed version a Beauty for Ashes story in your life?
I love what you said about the different types of ashes, because I recalled in my mind back in 1989, I was married to an alcoholic. I was self-medicating myself. I had two small children. My mother was dying with cancer, and I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. And I was not serving the Lord, but in my mess, he showed up. And after 3 years of battling, I won the victory. And now I'm restored. And the enemy comes in every once in a while, like, there's nodules on your lungs. Uh-oh, no, devil, I'm healed. You know, there's nodules on your thyroid. No, I'm healed. Now I am married to the man of my dreams. I am serving the Lord. But I live to tell the story, because the enemy tried to take me out, but God truly brought the beauty for ashes.
Amen. And when you were in that pit, yeah, let's clap for that. That's awesome. When you were in that pit of ashes, Maggie, did you have to remind yourself that God loved you?
I didn't have a clue that God loved me, mm-hmm. and yet right there he met me. I wasn't even saved at the time. Mm-hmm. But over the years, when I came in and I see the hand of God in my life, whenever I was not even, you know, I was American heathen, you know, so whenever I became born again and I looked back at how he was always there.
Amen.
He never left me. He
That's
never
right.
forsaked me.
That's right. And something that we need to remember is that he loves us. And even if our life is a pile of ashes or a half pile of ashes or however we would describe that, always remember that his love is still writing our story.
Amen.
His love has been with us from the before the beginning of time till now and will never stop. It says in Isaiah 61 in verse 3, "To all who mourn in Zion, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory." And that's out of Isaiah 61 and verse 3. And I'm thinking, Alicia, that's how you came up with the name Beauty for Ashes. And here's something for us to remember. Because many times, you know, the enemy and our own flesh will work to torment us, to say it's too late, it's all over, we've made too many mistakes, we knew God before, we backslid, we walked away, whatever term you want to put to it. When you look at this scripture, it's clear that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords knows that there are times that we will be in a season of despair, that there are times that we will be in a pile of ashes. I wish it wasn't true. I'm going to tell you, you know, if I get a vote between being really happy and having great circumstances and being in the pit of despair, I'm going to vote over here for the happy, right? I have learned that I grow the best and the most when I'm in seasons of difficulty.
Yeah, that's right.
And I wish I could tell you also that that's not true, but there's something about the press of life. There's something about suffering and ashes that makes us be like, what's going on here? And that makes us feel helpless enough to say, Jesus, I need you. And right when we begin to make that declaration, right when we begin to say things like, God, if you're there, help me. Right when we begin to say that, the press of life gets even stronger. And those thoughts come that, oh my goodness, I've messed up. I can't go back. What's that going to look like? How is this ever going to change? His word says, a joyous blessing instead of mourning. When he's talking about to all who mourn in Israel, he's talking about repentance. And we do have to repent for our sins.
Yes.
But we can't pay for our sins. Jesus already paid for them. There is nothing that we can do to pay back, to earn God's approval. He doesn't want that. All he's ever wanted is us. He sent Jesus to pay the bill that we cannot pay. So you don't have to try to pay by being good enough. You don't have to try to pay by trying to get into someone's good graces. You don't have to try to pay by cutting yourself, by doing these. You don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. Jesus paid the penalty. So when we start with he loves us, he paid that penalty because he loves us. And beauty is God's idea.
Yes.
Beauty for ashes is not something that's man-made. Beauty for ashes comes from God's heart that he wrote in his word. And his word says that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will stand forever. So beauty for ashes is a forever thing. It's permanent. Not much in this world is permanent. Buildings can be destroyed, right? Cars wear out, our clothes get old and the buttons fall off of them, right? You put on your favorite pair of pants and you find, well, goodness, after 3 years of wearing them, the zipper breaks. They fell apart. But beauty for ashes is a God-designed thing. It comes from the heart of God. Lisa Hooks, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
We would love to hear your beauty for ashes story.
You know, Monica, I did have a season of despair. When I was 17 years old, my mother committed suicide.
I'm so sorry,
and so
Lisa.
That left me heartbroken. It left me in a state of confusion. She was my first love.
Of course.
And so going through the grieving process, going through the why God, why did you let this happen process, something still triggered every time I tried to go in that direction. And it was knowing that God loved me.
Amen.
So this is so on point because as a child, I learned the love of God. Mm-hmm. And he would not let me forget that through such a painful season in my life.
Mm. You know, Lisa, I didn't know that about your life. That had to be a very, very dark time for you. As you look back on it now as an adult, as the mother of your own children, do you see how God, the things that he's done, does it come together for you now?
It does. It does. The anchor, you know, even again, from childhood, receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior, learning about his love, has been the anchor that has carried me through every trial and tribulation that I've had in life.
Amen.
I can now testify about my mother's situation. I can now, you know, tell people you can be healed, delivered, and set free.
Amen.
This too will pass.
Amen.
You can be whole after such a hurtful event.
Yes. Well, hurtful and confusing. I mean, your whole world fell apart.
Yes, it did.
Did people make comments to you that bothered you, or were people
actually helpful? They made comments that they could not believe how strong I was. Mm-hmm. But that strength wasn't my strength.
Amen.
I'm a teenager who just lost her mom.
Yes.
It was the strength of God. So even then, he was testifying to his goodness.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you know, for all of you that are here and for all of you that are watching, you know, we've all had things that are just catastrophic happen in our life. I mean, we live life in a fallen world. And for most of us, saying the words, why God, why, or why me, we've all had those moments and those times that we've said that. And even in the midst of that, if we can, as Lisa said, remember that he loves us. And if you're a mom or a dad, or if watching, if you're a parent, the most important thing that you can ever do for your child is to let them know that Jesus loves them. We live in a world that thinks that gadgets and toys and devices and the best education that, and you know what, if you can do those things and that's in the budget, if you can do those things, glory, hallelujah, but those things do not replace the love of God.
Amen.
The love of God is essential to remember that he loves us, to remember that he promises us beauty, and to remember that when we trust him, he turns pain into promise. He doesn't always tell us like why things happen, right? There are many times I've asked God, well, tell me about this. And he doesn't fill in that blank. And he doesn't connect those dots. But I trust him. And he always does wonderful things. He always does wonderful things. And the thing is, even if he answered everything, it's not like that it would put everything into place. Do you know what I mean? There are certain things that happen. For example, Lisa sharing that her mom tragically took her own life. There's not an answer that would make that all better. That's pain. That's pain. And so when we trust him, he turns our pain into promise. So I want to encourage you that if you're in a place of pain, trust him. Trust him even if you don't understand him. Trust him even if you're mad at him. Even if you're mad, trust him. You can say, God, I'm so angry. I'm so angry right now, but I trust you. I know you're good, even though I can't figure this out. I know that you promised me beauty for ashes. And then to remember, he finishes what he starts. We as people, we don't always finish what we start, right? We quit. We stop in the middle. It gets hard. We're like, oop, out of here. I thought this was going to be a whole lot different. But here's what God says. Philippians 1 and verse 6. And I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. God finishes what he starts. The good work that he has started in each of you, he is going to continue that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. For you watching, he's going to continue the good work that he began in you. It doesn't always look like it's a good work. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't always feel like it's a good work. People, you know, we don't always feel the presence of God every single day. Sometimes his presence is sensed more strongly than other times. That doesn't mean he's gone away. Amen. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. It's not just about goosebumps, though I love it when I get spiritual goosebumps. I promise you I do. You know, there are times when I pray and I can feel the presence of God so thick it could just fill up the room. And those are moments that I cherish. Those are moments that I treasure. But on this side of heaven, they don't last forever. Because there have been other times that I've walked the floors of my house and I've prayed and I've said things like, God, when I asked you to move in my life, I didn't mean move farther away. Because it doesn't feel like he's close. But it's not a feeling, guys. It's the Amen. Word of God. Right. He finishes what he starts. God never quits on us. God never quits on us. God never quits on us. We might quit. And even when we quit, he's still there loving us. He's still there waiting on us. He's still there promising beauty for ashes. There are moments in my own relationship with the Lord. I accepted him at 13. But there are moments that I backed away. Not that I didn't ever not believe him, but there are moments in my life, there are times that I can look back and see, you know, God, he was not my first priority at that time. I had given my time and attention over here, and he had to draw me back. He had to woo me back. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance.
Right.
It's not being mean and ugly with people. It's not pointing out everybody's faults and what they do wrong and letting everybody know and oh, la, la, la. It's not that. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. There are times that, like, I've just felt his kindness. And that kindness allows me to repent because I know that I'm not going to get scolded. Now, does God discipline us? Yes, he does. And does the word say that that discipline does not always feel pleasant at the time? Absolutely. I mean, who, when you got grounded as a kid, thought, yay, I'm grounded. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for sending me to my room for the 800th time. Thank you for telling me that for the next 30 days I can't leave the house. I thought they were very mean parents. And I would tell them, everybody else's parents lets them do X, Y, Z. And you know, my parents had the nerve to say to me, well, we're not everybody else's parents. One day I wrote them a letter and I said, Dear Mom and Dad, I am not going to wear those ugly winter boots that you bought for me. Everybody else wears nice-looking boots out in the snow. And my parents said, we love you. We don't want you to get sick. You're going to wear those ugly boots. And I wrote them another letter. I said, you are the meanest people in the world. You are ruining my life. So I went out and I bought a big purse. And I would get around the corner and I'd put those ugly boots in the purse. And I got caught. I got disciplined again. And you know why they did all of that? Because they loved me. You know, the world scolding and the world shaming is not for our own good. But if we are in a season of discipline from the Lord, remember he loves you. He promises you beauty for ashes. And his discipline is always for our good. His discipline is to help us grow up. His discipline is to help us refine our character. His discipline is never about shaming us. When we feel shame, you can know for sure that is not God.
Amen.
When we feel guilty and condemned, you can know for sure that is not God.
That's right.
What God does is gently woo us with his goodness and for us to remember first, when you're in the pit of ashes, he loves us. Say to yourself, he loves me. Think about how he went to that cross and he took that beating and we were on his mind. And he was like, look, you've got a bill that you cannot pay and I am here and I'm going to pay that bill in full because I love you.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And he knows that ashes are a part of life in a fallen world. And he says, I want to give you beauty for your ashes. Don't you all want beauty for ashes?
Yes.
I do. I've declared my life, this is my time, for beauty for ashes. And I'm believing that, and I'm standing on that, and I'm believing and standing on. He finishes what he starts. So in just a moment, Jennifer McGill is going to talk with Alicia from Beauty for Ashes and hear about a Beauty for Ashes story.
Would you like to be a part of a Bridges Studio Audience production? Visit monicaschmelter.com/calendar to sign up.
You can purchase a copy of today's show for $15. Call us at 615-754-0039 or send a check to the address on your screen. Be sure to mention the program number.
Hi, I'm Jennifer McGill, and thank you so much for joining us today at Bridges. I'm with Alicia Sharpton. She is the founder, she is the director of Beauty for Ashes. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
We've had an amazing message from Monica. There's so much that I wrote down in my little notes, but I do want to ask about your program, your ministry. Give us the overview about what it means, what beauty means to these women, how all of this works out for you.
Okay, Beauty for Ashes, we're actually Beauty for Ashes, a healing place, because I do believe that God heals those that are in the pile of ashes, and these ladies have been. We are a nine-month in-house Christ-centered program for women that are recovering from the effects of addiction. The women come to us and they actually just need to be restored, and they are restored by God's love. Many of them have never known Jesus before, and we're excited about this season because now they get to experience God like they've never experienced Him before.
So tell us how this got started.
I actually had a son that suffered from addiction, and I suffered from addiction years ago. And, you know, in those situations, you think this can never make sense. This can never bring anything. But in the midst of it, God said to me, I will bring beauty for your ashes. And as time went on, I worked for another company and helped women in addiction, and he pulled me out and he said, I've given you a vision and I want you to do it. Now's the time. And I was scared to death. But see, I believe God and I believe what he says to me. So I said, okay, we're going, but you better show up. And he has. He showed up and he showed out. And we've been open about a year now, and it's been amazing to see God bring these ladies back to life again and live a valued life. It's wonderful.
I love how we can dare to believe, and that part of that dare idea is that we can be aggressive with that path, that we can be activated, that we can talk to God like we talk to our best friend, that we can be real with Him and say, maybe I'm angry right now. Maybe I do feel like a pile of ashes. You better show up. I mean, we can get real with God because sometimes it does take that extra idea of being active in our relationship with Him to make a kind of change. Do you have like a favorite path that has developed from one of your ladies being in this ministry, an idea of how the definition of God's promise of love and beauty has shown up in the life after that ministry, after that program?
One of the verses that we believe so much is in Joel 2:25, and he says that he will restore the years the locusts have eaten. We have one lady that works in our ministry today. And before graduation, she was in jail. She lost her children. And God has brought her children back together with her. She's restored their relationships. She's working for our ministry. She's speaking life into our ladies that are there now. So God indeed does do what He says He'll do.
I love that word, restoration. Tell us how we can get involved. How can we help your ministry?
The first thing above all is prayer. It's really hard to deal with the past of the ladies. They have a hard time with it. Our leadership needs your prayers. Second thing is financially. Our ladies, some of them do not have jobs, so they're sponsored. So if you would like to partner with us and pay for a woman to go through the program, that would be great. And we also have needs, even toilet paper that we need all the time. And so if you're willing to give something like that, we would love to give you that information to allow you to do that.
Is there any last thing that you want to tell us? Any last idea or message of restoration that you would like to give our audience today?
I know today that if I hadn't stepped out in faith and done what God had called me to do, that these ladies might not have been restored today. So I'm grateful that I believed in God and I did what He told me to do.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, Alicia. Thank you so much for joining us today here at Bridges. If there's anything else that you would like to learn or gather, you can go to monicaschmelter.com for the study guides, for videos, and other resources to help you discover how to live your most beautiful life one biblical truth at a time. Thanks again for joining us. Make the rest of your day a great day.
The blood of Christ is the only cure. It gets down to the root of every single thing that ails us. There's not an addiction. There's not a generational curse. There's not any root of sin. There's nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse.
Visit monicaschmelter.com to schedule Monica to speak at your event.
Join the Bridges community on Facebook. Visit Facebook and search for Bridges with Monica. We would love to connect with you.
Do you ever hear sayings make their way through the culture and the church that seem nice in theory, but are actually theologically problematic? My name is Shara Donahue, and I'm the host of The Bible Never Said That, a podcast where we examine these popular sayings under the lens of biblical truth. We cover sayings like, God won't give you more than you can handle, time heals all wounds, and follow your heart. We also spend time exploring how people use Bible verses out of context. If you want to grow in discernment and truth, join us and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.